Lord, we just give you praise right now that you are with us in this place, and your purpose and plan is to make your name great in this place, but specifically in each person gathered here this morning. So in Jesus' name, come and show yourself strong. Everybody want that? Say amen. Well, give someone a big bear hug. Tell them God loves them. And young people, you can be dismissed to children's church. Worship team, you guys rock. Oh, hallelujah. Man, oh man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a good day, what a good day. Man, this morning I got up and the sun was just about to come over. And man, the clouds looked beautiful. I'm telling you, it was so pretty. Sitting there thinking, man, only God paints like this every single day. It's just gorgeous. I tell you, when you live in Wisconsin in the summer, you ain't got nothing to complain about. It is beautiful up here. It's God's country. I told everyone, all of my family that'll listen to me, I said, yeah, if this was the way it was always in Wisconsin, none of us that live here currently could afford to live here, because it'd be heaven on earth. It just really would be. And this is what people in Southern California only dream about. Green without irrigation. Right. You know, and air-conditioned sunshine. Yeah, I mean, I just love it. It is beautiful. And I am so thankful that God made this place. Amen. And I'm thankful that God made you. I'm thankful that God brought you to this place at this time. It's by no accident. No accident whatsoever. And I want you to know that in this last couple weeks especially, I've been praying a key verse for today. And that's out of Ephesians. And so as we get started, I want to open up with that verse. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, if we can pull that up onto the screen up there, I want us to read it together and focus on a specific section, the end of that there. And so this was one of the apostles. They prayed this, that God would grant, you could personalize it, you or me, according to the riches of God's own glory. Now, when you say glory, don't make that an abstract concept. This is all of the weightiness of who God is. So much weightiness that there was a substance to it in the Old Testament called the Shekinah. They couldn't even get into a room because it filled the room with His glory. So there's a real substance to this. And so it says, out of the substance of God, I want you to strengthen with power. And that power is the word we get dynamite from. So think of dynamite power. You could also say resurrection power. So, Father God, come out of your essence and all of the things that you are. Strengthen me today. Strengthen you today with dynamite power. Now, here's where it starts. Through His Spirit. Remember last week we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit? The person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. So through the person of the Holy Spirit, God is going to give dynamite power where? In the inner man. This is my prayer. This is what I believe God will answer. This is what I believe many in this room today are saying, please, let it be today. Let it be today that God gives me strength in the inner man. And I love the fact that so much of Scripture is applicable to the things that we face daily. And it's not just in my story, it's in your story. That just boggles my mind. How can the God of the universe, who has all knowledge, all power, keep all this stuff straight? He's not only dealing with my life, my internal drama, my external drama, He's dealing with yours. I saw this shirt one time years ago and it said, save the drama for your mama. And it's like, that's real. In our lifetime, I got enough problems with my own drama, let alone adding your drama to it. So save that drama for your mama, not me or for anybody else. You know. But the reality is, every single one of us needs Jesus. to give us His Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, give us dynamite power in the inner man. And so today's message, it's really a precursor for what is going to come. And I was just sharing with Pastor Bill even before the service, I said, I really believe I felt a vision, like the Lord gave me a picture of what He was going to do in one of our services. And I told him, he said, so should we plan on that? I said, I don't know if that's for today or next week, or I don't know. But I'll tell you, I got some pictures in my mind, and he was in it. Cletus Ninham was in it. Ron and Dana were in it. And the Lord was ministering in very real ways. And it just blessed me. It blessed me. And so I am expectant for God to do great things. But before we get to that, I really think today is a timely message where if you need strength in the inner man, I'm going to tell you there is a God who's very personable, who loves you so much, His whole purpose today is to give you strength. And I need that. So I need that. Amen. Anybody else need that this morning? You came to the right place. Yes. Yes, you came to the right place. To pause here just for a second. I love the fact that as I get older and I get to new phases in life, you get to enjoy different things. And yesterday, we brought number three daughter and dropped her off at Olivet. And I tell you, just blesses my socks off. Well, actually, I'm not wearing socks today. Usually, I wear flip-flops. And so I really don't have, I'm just blessed. I guess I have no socks anytime. I'm that blessed. And as we were walking through the campus, we've been there multiple times now, I'm sitting there going, Lord, You are so neat the way You direct the steps of each of my kids. And I am not that smart. I can't do that. It is a joy to put those things you care about and the people you care about into the powerful hands of God and just say, Lord, You, not me, You, I'm going to give them into Your hands. You do whatever You want to do with them. Protect them. Guide them. And you know, you can rest in that. He cares more about your children than you do if you're a parent. So just trust that the Lord will do what He needs to do. Don't be shocked or awed if it looks scary. Don't be shocked or awed if it's going, I don't know how you're going to get through this. You know what? God, that's how they're going to get through this. And so my faith as a parent is as every child just leaves the nest, I go, well, there's another one in Your hands, literally. Literally in Your hands, Lord. And I just give them to You. And you know, I can sit back and say, I just can't wait for all of the promises to come back. Because I believe that there are promises that I'm holding fast to. It doesn't matter what goes on in my kid's life, I'm holding on to them promises. Can a parent say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. So today, I'm going to talk about the strength on the inner man. And I want to address these major truths. If you're going to take notes, these are the things that I expect to answer. I want to point out and give us kind of freedom to acknowledge this first truth. Weakness is a reality for everyone. This is the first truth we have to come face to face with. This doesn't make us people of less faith. This actually makes us people who admit the reality of things, and then God gives us overcoming strength. The reality is weakness is something all of us are familiar with. Anybody ever feel weak? If you're too weak to lift your hand and say, yeah, me, then, you know, to ask the person, can you help me? I feel real weak. There are times you feel weak. Now, when you think of weakness in Scripture, we're going to talk about what that looks like. It does things. That's the first truth I'm going to talk about. The next one is this. The Spirit of God in us is greater than he that is in the world. This is a reality. This is a truth. A truth is something that is real. It's the way things really are, no matter what you perceive, no matter what you feel in your mind or your heart or what happens out there. The truth, the way things really are, is the Spirit of God inside of the believer is greater than anything in the world. That is a reality. We need to know that on those days where we feel the first truth, weak. Wait a minute. God in me is stronger. Really? Yes. And so that is a wonderful truth. Here's the next thing. There's only four. So truth number three is this. The strength or the inner man is renewable. The inner man is renewable. Thank you for that. That comes from one of our senior saints saying, amen for that. Well, that is a man speaking from experience, because you can only go so far before you need another candy bar, right? Because spiritually speaking, you can get hangry and you need something to refill and give you some grace, or you just don't have it. The strength of the inner man is a renewable energy. Praise God. So maybe this is a green message today. Anyway, moving on. And the last one that I'd like to talk on is this. This is the truth. This is the truth in the church, and that's as you as an individual, in every season of the church's life. So think about Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. All of the individuals we read about in the Old Testament, this is applied to them. And then when you think of every one of those apostles, every one of those early church people, moving all through even our era to you in this moment, this reality exists. God is going to work through even you. God is going to work through even you. There has never been a disqualifier that has been too big for God to overcome and work through an individual. I don't have time to expound on that in Scripture, but I'll tell you, we are quick to disqualify ourselves when God has never disqualified us. He says, no, I want to work through you, even knowing all these other realities. Why? Because your inner man is renewable. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because weakness is a reality for every single person. If there was a prerequisite for God to use you, that you had to be perfect at some point, there is no hope. There's just no hope. Believe me, you already know my track record of performance. My office furniture beats me up. There would be no hope for me. So this is a reality that I've got to acknowledge, and I forget this. As a good pastor or as a bad pastor, I can forget this, but it's the Spirit of God that comes and reminds me, Ben, I want to work through you. No, you don't want to. Yes, I do. Really? Yep, I want to. But right now, I'm going to renew you. You better renew me. I got nothing. It's okay. Greater am I in you. Even than that mountain. But God, I'm so weak. Everyone is weak. Ooh, this is the voice of the Lord that speaks to me sometimes in my quiet time. And you know what this does? It stirs up a hope that goes, oh, well, maybe we can't. Yeah, I can get up today. Okay, well, you know what? I can believe. Yes. And you almost hear that self-talk start to bubble up. Next thing you know, beware. You're going to start praising. Get careful. You're going to start dancing. There are times in the midst of the most crazy circumstances, after the tears, after the vomiting all the junk, next thing you know, I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Anybody of you watching me, you go, that man has really lost it. He's just had a mental breakdown. No, it's just I found these realities to be true in my own life. So let's talk about this first one. Weakness is a reality for all. Oh, man, this is just so good. Wow. Weakness is a reality for all. I was going back through Scripture. And there's no hope. Jeremiah said, he said this, I just wish I'd never been born. Poor Jeremiah. I was telling the worship team before this, Moses. You know that man that we spent so much time focusing on? Moses was one of these guys who said, just blot my name out of the book of life and kill me quick. Moses said this. sound like a real great man of faith, right? Split the water. Take me out now. You know, it's like, wow, this is the same person? Yep, that's the same person. What about Jonah? You are too nice and forgiving. Kill me. That's basically the way he says. You want to forgive the Ninevites? Just kill me. He's so depressed. And then not just that, Job. Listen to the story of Job. It is horrible. But when you're feeling down, it's really comforting to read someone who's even more miserable than you. It really is. It feels good. So, and then I fast forward. There's too many others that I could talk about. Just think of Jesus. Jesus himself, it literally says that in that Garden of Gethsemane, he despaired. We have never come close enough to sweat the drops of blood that he did. That was a fly. Sorry, that was a distraction. Everybody go back to the message. And so we have never come to the point of sweating drops of blood. He was in despair of soul. And so in that moment, we realize what Hebrews says. In Hebrews, there's this beautiful phrase in chapter 4, verse 15, that we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. Now, that doesn't mean he is weak in the same way that you and I are weak, but think about it in the terms of music. Harmonizing. Different notes that are complementary that have something sweet as a result. And that music, that symphony, that coming together and having a flow, Jesus, as a human, when he took on flesh, he created a melody, as it were, in his heart and his mind that is still playing today. He knows what each of us go through as people because he's experienced degrees of it that none of us as an individual have experienced all this. Only Christ could experience all this. He was tormented with all kinds of things, and yet he overcame. In the Garden of Gethsemane, despairing of soul, yet he overcame. None of us knows what that's like, but we all know parts. And he sympathizes with our weakness, so he is our advocate. And he's like, hey, I'm with him. I know what it's like. Wow. It's good for us to sometimes stop and think about how Jesus can identify with us because he's been betrayed. He's been murdered. All the things that we want to say, well, nobody knows. Jesus does. He knows. And he can sympathize with our weakness. Wow. I look at more contemporary things and I go, okay, if God worked through Jesus, he overcame and he worked such miracles, okay, can he still do that through us? Yeah, even through people who are not in the Bible. People who do great things that I believe are biblically inspired. For instance, Abraham Lincoln, probably one of the most renowned presidents in American history. Here's what came from a letter to John Stewart on January 23, 18, like something. I actually put in my notes, 18419. So obviously it was either late or early in the morning I was typing this. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, yeah, the year was 184,019. No, but think about this. So Abraham Lincoln, this is what he wrote in the letter to John Stewart. He said, I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were to be equally distributed to the whole of the human family, there would not be one cheerful face on the earth. This is awesome. I just look at that and go, wow, that stinks. And then he says this, and whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I only have an awful foreboding that I shall not be. To remain as I am, this is what he says, it's impossible. I must die or I must be better. Wow. Wow. You know, I read that and I go, man, I guess everybody is dealing with weakness on some level. Reading in a book, Leading on Empty by Wayne Cadero. And Wayne Cadero, what a great man of God. And he was telling a story of when he hit the wall, he says. And he says off the Diamond Head, and he was surfing a big wave, and the wave picked him up, and he said, nobody else got on this wave. And he goes, and I don't know why, because this wave was, I could tell it was going to be a great one. It was going to be huge. So he's on his ski, and he starts to surf it, and the wave picks him up, and then he realized why no one else got on it. Because experienced skiers in these long fiberglass-like kayaks, they would have said, yep, that's not worth it, not worth your life. It's going to go all the way to the shore and slam you against the rocks. And everyone else that had been professional, they knew it, but he was just learning and he was good. He gets on that wave and it picks him up, and he said the first like minute was exhilarating. It was like, yes, this is what life is all about. And then the thought came, how do I get off? How do I stop? And then he began to see the water receding underneath him as the wave grew and the face steepened, and he began to see the coral and all the jagged edges. And then just as his ski turned perpendicular, he only remembers after that waking up. The leash on his leg had been ripped off. His ski had been broken into pieces, and it was a miracle he survived. And he remembers that, and he says, that's what my life has been like, because I had done so much that I realized I had depleted all of my inner man. Medically speaking, it's depleting all your serotonin or all those beautiful things that keep you happy, your happy juices. And once you deplete those, then you have to resort to your reserves, which is usually adrenaline. I call that coffee. So I run by coffee a lot of the times until I realize you cannot survive long on just coffee. And so he hit the wall. His heart began to creep into areas of stress, and he had a medical meltdown. He had to go on months of sabbatical and all this stuff, and he's a talented man. He's not sinning. This is important. He was not sinning. Some people think weakness is a sin. No, it's just called weakness. Come on, that's so good. I don't know if you've ever been like me, where just to admit that you're weak sometimes feel like I'm not a man of faith. Well, who told you that? I bet you I know who told you about that. We picture him in cartoons with a little tail, a little pointy thing on it, a little horns. Yeah, and he just comes right over and he whispers in your ear, if you was a person of faith, you wouldn't feel like this. And we go, oh yeah, you're right, because Trish never feels like this. It's just me. She's like an expert Christian. She's never had a bad day in her life. Just me. And we begin to believe these lies that are whispered into our hearts and minds, and it isolates us from the very source of strength that we need, which is the Holy Spirit. So if you've struggled in that area, I want you to just be firm with yourself and say, this is not a sin to feel the weakness in my inner man. This doesn't make me less of a Christian. It actually makes you human. Pray the Lord. And God is in the business of using humans, like using me. This is awesome. So let's move on to the next truth. The next truth is this: the Spirit of God in us is greater. What in the world? Wow. When I read this, and you know, like 1 John 4:4, John 16:33, all this kind of stuff, I begin to ask myself, what does this mean that the Spirit of God in us is greater than he that is in the world? So the Spirit that is in the world, if you were to go back and read some of those references I just mentioned, you would see that the world lies under the sway or the influence of the evil one. We're going to say that lies under the influence of Satan. So the world has an influencer. That influencer is evil. And wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Who? Everyone. Lies. Everything comes out of his mouth is a lie. Even if he quotes scripture, he twists it and makes it a lie. How do you do that? I don't know. He births lies. And the world is under its sway. And so if that's what's in the world, and it seems overwhelming at times, wow, it is good for us to know that the Spirit of God in us is greater than what is in the world. So think about that in the terms of what you and I are facing now. Put it in political terms. Put it in emotional terms. Put it in physical terms with your body. In all those instances, there is this carte blanche truth. The Spirit of God is greater than that. So physically speaking, Spirit of God is greater than every physical infirmity or weakness you will face. What does that mean? It means He is greater. That gives us the ability to endure all things. I just don't know how I can do it one more day. Well, physically speaking, you might not be able to. For instance, right now, my dad, he was over in Uganda. He gets back tomorrow. And I asked after day two, I said, how is it? And man, God lit that country up while my dad has been over there. I don't know if you followed him on Facebook or stuff like that, but the inside scoop is there's been miracles. There's been God moving in prophetic words. The stuff that's going on right now over there is so cool what God has done through him, another friend of mine, Matt Snyder, and then one of his partners. And then I have a cousin, Anthony, who went with him. First time he's ever been on this. He is ruined for the rest of his life. I'll tell you that right now. When you see God moving in such miracles and signs and wonders, you can't unsee that. You can't unexperience that, you are ruined. and so they're over there, and I said, man, this sounds awesome. I said, how's it going? From day two on, my dad's sciatic and his back has been so inflamed, he's moving around like this in pain. And then he'll get up into the pulpit. Now, I'll tell you, God's doing miracles. Why isn't his sciatic nerve healed right there? God is doing all kinds of stuff, and why isn't God touching that? Day in, day out, he's struggling with this, and he's getting up, and other people are being healed. Other people are being set free. Is he not a man of faith? Is God not powerful? Can't he be healed? I'll tell you, the reality is God's Spirit in him is greater. So every day, every moment that back and all that stuff, he's doing. I know this because he's my dad, and I've been with him in these very moments. And he says, in Jesus' name, I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to preach. In Jesus' name. And then he'll say, now, Ben, if I can't, you're going to have to preach. And I'm like, what is it? Are you schizophrenic? I mean, is God... And he just says, this is what I'm going to tell. I'm going to get up there or I'm going to die. One of those two things are going to happen. If I die, you're going to have to preach. And I'm like, we don't pause. We don't do a funeral. What? I mean, nope, we're going to get up. And you know, he gets up there and the next thing you know, he's standing up and the Spirit of God's moving through him and all kinds of stuff is happening. And then afterwards, and I'm like... The point of this is... We have got to let the truth of the Spirit of God in us be both legal and functional. So here's the reality. When I say that greater is the Spirit of God in you than he that is in the world, realize this in legal terms. Back when Jesus laid his life down at the cross and he was buried, dead for so many days, and then raised to life again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Legally speaking, he said, death has been defeated. Is death still happening? Yes. How many people have died since that cross till now? Even Lazarus. He's like, how many times do I got to die before you let me go back to heaven? You know what I mean? So, I mean, what did his friend say? Man, if you was a real man of faith, this would be the only time you have to die. He's like, nah, my fear is unless Jesus comes, well, he ain't even dead yet, but you know, I'm going to die again. Then there is no power greater than the Spirit of God. Not death, not sickness, not anything greater than the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God is in us. All the legal rights to you and I have already been settled. You don't have to go back and arbitrate that in any way. All of this baloney of standing there and saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you are now broke. He's already been broken. You don't have to go back and re-break what's already been broken. Come on. This might set some of you free. You don't have to go back and do what Jesus has already done. So then what do we need to do? In our experience, we have a thing called faith, and that faith is the evidence of things hoped for but not yet even experienced. So when I say the Spirit of God is greater in you and me than he that is in the world, don't look through your natural eyes, look in the spiritual eyes, and you say, in Jesus' name, this is what I believe. I will believe this until I'm either taken out or I see the victory. So if I was a Hebrew children in the Old Testament, I say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he can save me and he can deliver me, and I won't even feel the fire. But if I burn... I still believe. Some of you can't say that today. You need to get to that level of faith. Why? Because that is a mature faith. If you don't have that mature faith, then you will struggle with doubts. And the doubt is not God. That doubt is your experience with God. You've got to let Him be bigger than what you think. He really is bigger than what you think. And so we've got to hold on to this, and we begin to move forward understanding that God is greater in us than he that is in the world. And that experience is amazing. The more you walk like this, the more you begin to see God do miracles, God do signs and wonders, and you don't struggle with the weight or the discouragement when God doesn't do what you think he's going to do. Because your faith is even bigger than doubt. Come on, church. Come on, church. Your faith is even bigger than doubt. It's got to be bigger than doubt. And because sometimes your own mind will lie to you. Sometimes your own experience will lie to you. Stop looking at your experience. Stop listening to your own mind in that way. And start believing what the Bible says is legally settled and done. Oh, that's awesome. So the just, the righteous, the Christians will live by faith. That means even if you don't see it in this life, that's the way you act. So is there ever a time where you can't praise? No. Is there ever a time you can't sing songs and thank God? No. Even in sickness? You bet. Even in the darkest dungeon cell? Yes, says the apostles. Praise Him. Why? Because He's the God who sets people free. He can preach if He doesn't. Ooh. Oh, man, I can preach. We've got 15 more minutes. There's some good stuff here. Is this meat too heavy for you?
No.
Good, because I went to bed eating slivers of steak at probably 11 o'clock last night. Had heartburn all morning, and I'm getting through this message in the grace of God. I'm no idea what I'm saying now. oh, man. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We realize that, and we move on to this next portion, which is the inner man is renewable. So in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we hear this kind of concept. It says, though our outer man is decaying, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, even though my outer man is decaying, yet my inner man is being renewed day by day. What is this? This is talking about the inner part of us that is so different from our external self. So all of this inner person, it is the unseen part of us, our mind, our will, our emotions. It also involves our soul, the part of us that's been reborn and remade. So all of that unseen part of us, some of it is very easy to relate with because you all know what emotions are like, right? Well, some of us. Travis has no emotions. It's amazing. But all of us know what our emotions are like, right? But not many of us know what soul is like in the sense of the soul that's born again or the soul that is still dead. But man, this is all part of who we are. Now, God says that unseen part of you must be either renewed or you will slowly wither and die. And as the soul gives life to the body, so God's Spirit gives life to you. And you've got to have that life in you, and it's got to be renewed. This is why in Ephesians we are told to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to continually have a source, a spring of living water that's welling up inside of you, or you run dry. So you've got to be renewed. Now, what does that renewal look like? In the Old Testament, they had this beautiful picture. It was the manna. Spiritual food from heaven that came down every morning and they gathered it for their daily needs. Jesus even said, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus also reiterated an Old Testament scripture when he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that comes down. You could apply that to Jesus himself. He was the Word made flesh. And so he talked to his disciples and they said, man, everything you say are words of life. No matter what was going on, boy, what Jesus was saying to them, those are words of life. And so we live by daily bread. That daily bread, that word of God, isn't just the black and white letters on a page. This is where the experience of being renewed is important. You've got to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit where the word of God is ignited and comes alive to you, or it doesn't bring a well of living water into you. Now, I can tell you from my experience, you got to dig wells. You don't just go. It's not like the water bottle that we got out there. You just don't go and, you know, get more water like that. You got to dig deep. And sometimes that well is deep in the ground. And so do it. There are times I spend time in Scripture and it just feels so dry. And then there's other times where I open up the Bible kind of like that. Okay, God, speak to me. Wow. And then it's like, wow, that is great. But boy, you try and live your life like that, you're going to be crazy. You can't do that. You've got to learn to study the Word and go deep in the Word, chew on it. And then God begins to show you that you are getting daily words, rhema words, they would say. Man, that is so good. This strengthen your weakness. Let's move on. I want to get to these last two real quick. Strengthen your weakness and then God working through you. All right, strengthen your weakness. This one is going to be a lot. I'm sorry for preaching too much. Maybe we should take time and just kind of coast on one topic. I just can't stop it. I preach like this is the last message that I got. When it comes to strengthen your weakness, here's what I see. I see that we have to become experts in the basics, that through that consistent, repetitive kind of approach to life, we produce strength. That strength is not 100%, that strength is in general. So what I'm telling you today doesn't mean that if you do these things, you are always going to be strong. We've already covered the first truth. Every one of us is going to be in touch with our weakness. And so we don't live by that, but we do this. These are the things. We first acknowledge that strength, or that becoming strong in our weakness, is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of the flesh. So I need you to preach this back to me. The first thing we've got to acknowledge, strength in our weakness doesn't come from performance. It comes from the Spirit of God. How can I say this differently? Your math doesn't work. So stop using it when it comes to the Spirit of God. I want you to think about everybody in this room. There is none of us in this room perfect. So some of you are more broken. Some of you are less more broken. All of us are broken. So no one in the room has some secret formula for God moving through them in power. No one has that. It's all a work of the Holy Spirit through His favor, His grace. And that grace is sufficient for every degree of weakness. This is why A.A. Allen, if you guys are familiar with some of those latter rain kind of outpouring renewals and stuff like that, this is why someone like an A.A. Allen, a chronic drunk who would sometimes step into the pulpit completely drunk, and yet he would sober up in an instant, and then God would miraculously move, and some people would be healed right there. The hospital would send the ambulance to the service first. And then he would get healed. The people would get healed through a drunk. If God can do that through a drunk, stop focusing so much on how well you're doing as a Christian. Depending on how you were raised, you might be ingrained in this. If I pray 5 minutes a day, God can use me more. If you remember 50,000 scriptures, God can use you more. If you sin this morning, He can't use you this evening. God doesn't work like that. It is always a work of grace. How many need to hear that? Come on. This is what you need to know if God is going to move through you. You've got to stop trying to be an expert in the kingdom of God. What that does is it sets you up to look like a fool. You will pray for a miracle. It will never happen. Why? Because you still think it's your smarts or your personal strength that open up the door for a miracle to happen. You have got to be humbled enough to say it's not me. So that when someone says, wow, I like your miracles. I like how when you pray, everything gets, man, heaven and earth moves. I don't want your pride to take over and for you to start your own church or your own internet sensation or your YouTube channel and train up your own prophet all this kind of stuff. You need to be humble enough to say, it is not me, it is the Spirit of God moving through me, and it could be no different between me and you. God can move through you too. And this brings freedom. We are coming into the last days, and God wants to pour out His Spirit through every member in the church. And it's got to break. We've got to break this somehow. We've got to break this. So strength in our weakness comes from knowing it's first a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say, wow, this is good. What you can do is wait on it. Now, when I say wait, you must realize that that word wait on that work of the Holy Spirit means to hope for it. Hope for it. Give yourself permission to hope for things. So if you have a bad day and then in some part of your day you run across a person who just is having a bad day, and you, knowing Jesus, think to yourself, well, God loves this person, even though I'm an idiot. And for whatever reason, I'm the idiot that's right here with this person who needs something. So in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to offer what God has offered me and every person on the planet. I'm going to offer His strength to you right now in your weakness. Wow, I tell you, this sets people free. Whew. Church is done. I can't get any further. We got another service. So let's just stop right now. I'll pick it up next week. I have notes, so I won't forget where I'm at. So if you want to remember, next week we're going to pick up on strength in your weakness. How can you and I be strong in our weakness? Because I believe God is training this church and everyone that is looking in Scripture like this. I mean, He is training you for what is to come. You are going to be a powerful instrument in God's kingdom. I believe this is prophetic. Again, still, He's already said it, wait to be clothed in power so you could be my witness. We have named ourselves the visible church to be God's hands and feet in this city. You think you can get out of that calling to say, God, you want to use me? You want to speak through me? Yes, warts and all. And He wants to set people free in all kinds of places through weak people, just like me, just like you. This gets me so pumped. Stand. You better stand. I'm going to preach again. In Jesus' name, I just ask you now to prepare our hearts to hope for more. I want you to lift your hands towards heaven right now. Father God, just like what was said in Ephesians 3:16, I pray that you would grant in this room, according to the riches of your glory, that every person in this room with hands lifted high would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in their inner man. Holy Spirit, come and refresh what only you can refresh. Renew it in Jesus' name right now. Renew it. If there's been a physical depletion, bring strength in Jesus' name. If there's been an emotional wearing down and a depletion, renew that heart right now in Jesus' name. Come and breathe life again into that heart. Father God, if there's been distractions, silence those distractions in this room right now. If there's been a misappropriation of faith, refocus faith in this room. Our faith is in you, Lord God. Our faith is in your words. Our faith is in your Holy Spirit right now. So, Lord, come and pour out in abundance. And let us maintain a posture of waiting, hoping, expecting for you to clothe everyone in this room with power. If you want that, just say yes and amen. Yes and amen. Amen. Well, we're dismissed until next service.